Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda V. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Bianca. Saturdays, 10 and 12 noon to 6 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Bianca. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
This is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Grand Rising.
Yeah.
And thank you all for joining us today. And this is another session of Joy to the World with Mama Joy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, Joy to the World. Good morning, Grand Rising, to all of you. And hey, it's a joy to be back here on the third Wednesday on the Female Solution.
Yeah.
Nine, it has been 1 month, and I tell you,
wow.
You think you just about hit all of the pows, you know, and then you turn around and say, my goodness, there's still a lot of work to be done. People don't understand that you're worthy of joy. How can we get our joy back? We need some joy in this life, and we're deserving of it. And we can see with things going around, people don't know how, or most definitely they don't even feel worthy.
That's the sad part. They don't feel worthy.
They don't feel worthy, you know. So we hope that we can have conversations that will let us know that our joy should be so abundant and actually impacting on all, even people that we love, our families. We've got to learn how to bring this divine energy, accept it for ourselves and bring it to our family.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, it's something that we have to be taught. We have to be taught, and on the other hand, be willing to learn.
That's the thing, being willing to learn.
Being willing to learn.
Yeah.
We're addicted to suffering and pain.
And that's the problem. We're believing that that's what's supposed to happen. We're believing that somehow it's holy, it's spiritual to be suffering, and where do we get that misteaching? Why do we allow that to be a part of our belief system that you have to suffer your way to heaven? Why would you believe that? You can create heaven if you just choose to live in joy and to share joy with others.
That was a good question you just asked, and I think that's what I was thinking about. Who's teaching us?
Yes. That's the major issue. Who is teaching us?
I go back to my mother, Sojourner Truth. She said, who's going to teach the poor slave children?
Yes.
Who's going to teach them? And you see, because we're not able to go back to that time and say, oh, that's old and that's in the past. When you go back into your history, you're not to go in with the old mind. You go into it. With the joy
mind.
Of the Lord, the new mind that you have of worthiness, knowing that if you're worthy, they were worthy. And our attempt now is to dignify our history, dignify our ancestors, and to see even in the midst of all that they were in, they found their joy in music and dance.
Yes, yes. That's,
in
that's
song
what
and dance. And when you see Michael Jackson being a fruit from that tree, even though they didn't reference it, that power is so great until that young man moved the world.
Yes, he did. All over the world. They
all
were inspired
in
by
prisons,
his creativity. Everywhere.
In prisons.
Yes.
You saw hundreds of men come together and do that thing he told, Thriller. You know, He brought harmony. And I one of the things that I found, Naima, is the fact that we have to learn that no one can master your mind better than you. And it's
That's
a lot
right.
of work. It requires a lot of work.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Okay, here we are. Yes, now, Brother Kareem, are you with us now? Yes, we want to make sure that we're all connected here.
I'm connected and ready to go.
Yes,
and it's a cloudy, rainy day in Chicago, but
yes,
we're shining brightly this morning. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Yeah, while we were waiting for him to come on, I had an experience yesterday. There was a ceremony for the police. You know, this month is Police Appreciation, nationally Appreciation Month.
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
Uh-oh. Oh, are you there? Or is it me?
Okay, great. And so they were celebrating and honoring the officers. And I know you remember. Is he in yet?
Not yet, but I'll text him to see if they can hear us.
And, yeah, and one of the things I realized that in the during the ceremony, that these young men, these young officers, the I looked at them, they were younger than my children.
Mm.
And so I began to see them differently. So I'm just seeing their garb on TV, but when you get close to them and you're there and you are able to see the youth and to see the human in them and the innocence in them, you know, I said, we really must work to change our attitude and see what we can do to embrace all humanity, because they're finally admitting that they cannot do it. And there was a lot of abuse that was even in there, and so now they are starting to focus on mental health.
Mm.
Chicago has the highest rate of suicide among police officers than any other police district in the nation.
Wow.
60% of the suicide, that's my suicide among police officers, are here in Chicago.
Wow. And, you know, that's the thing that they very rarely will talk about. But these are people who are
unmuted
every day, living extreme stress, an unnatural situation, seeing the worst of humanity, seeing violence. And it's not natural for a human being to be exposed to that much negativity on a daily basis, and they are traumatized, and they're not expected to have the normal human effects of being traumatized. And we're not realizing that exposing people to this is going to affect their mental health over time, and that's why you
mm-hmm.
see.
Over time. And a couple of these gentlemen, the officers, they were with the slaying of Officer Ella French last year.
Yeah, that was a tragic situation.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was attended that service as well. And then yesterday I saw these young men, and you could still see and feel that they had not gotten over that. And this is something that in a community such as the police district, we've so many of us have put walls and put them into a category of being
something other than human. The same way that we do celebrities.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a fixation that must be removed, because every one of those officers, some mother's child.
Yes.
Families.
Yes.
And we some way or another, we have been taught and programmed to categorize, separate everyone from each other. And instead of intercoursing, we're having collisions. We're made to have intercourse. We're made to communicate. We're created to be able to sit down and resolve issues.
Yes, and to see each other as the same as ourselves. So this is part of the biggest problem in the society, when you have this us versus them mentality and thinking there's some bad guys and good guys, and you have to fear these people and control these people and punish these people, when everybody is the same. Everybody's a human being. Everybody's the same spirit, striving to connect with our creator, striving to live enjoy, and yet we were constantly being given this fear programming so that we feel like we can't trust each other. And so we don't approach each other with love and compassion. We approach each other with fear, and we often misinterpret each other, and that's why we end up reacting in the wrong manner to each other. So now you've got people who are armed with weapons. And every day they're given a rundown of all these crimes and everything that happens before they start their day. And so they're sent out to the society. And, of course, they're already in a fearful state and in a paranoid state. And then they're seeing all of these awful things. So by the end of the day, they're destroyed. And there is no mental health practice that they have to help them decompress, to help them to come back to a state of peace. It just builds and builds and builds, and some of them at some point they snap, and either they go off on somebody else and kill somebody else, or they kill themselves, like you mentioned, the high suicide rate.
And the nation, would you believe
yes.
it?
Yes.
And the high crime.
I'm not surprised.
And it's something that I'm encouraging us all to be willing to change self, be willing to
That's where it
open
starts.
Yourself up for some truth.
That is and where it starts.
Be mature. Is he in yet?
And so I do believe I heard our microphone open. And I want to introduce our listening and viewing audience to our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family that is joining us. And we are here with Mama Joy, and we're
yes.
looking to bring some joy to the world today. We're going to talk about a number of things that cause us to be separate and hostile toward each other, and maybe correct some of our mistaken belief systems that keep us creating and miscreating this state of affairs that none of us like, and yet we keep believing we can't get out of. So thank you for joining us today, and assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you and all of those listening in on American Muslim 360. Thank you so much for joining us on The Female Solution.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. I'm very grateful to join you and Mama Joy this morning on the Female Solution.
Yes, yes. Bless
and I have, I have heard some of the discussion and the commentary before coming on. And your guest, Mama Joy, has the right name, Mama Joy. Yes, and it is important that we have this type of examination, I would call it, an examination of our condition as human beings in our various professions. You know, we have sometimes we prejudge. We prejudge each other based upon information or images that have been placed before us. And we approach each other with suspicion and fear. With suspicion and fear, we've been programmed to do that. But I I offer this solution. There is no emotion greater than love. That's at the top of how we feel.
Absolutely.
And if you could start right there, start there. You cannot do this type of work if you do not love humanity. You have to love humanity. So if we start right there at the position of love on the individual level and forward, until that person has displayed behavior disagreeable, then we should not approach them with the position or a prejudging of what they are, who they are, how they feel, what they think, and all of that. I heard you mention law enforcement, and we all know all law enforcement is not bad. They are human beings.
Yeah,
they have families, they have children. You know, but we have the perception that when law enforcement approaches, immediately, we prejudge. And sometimes that's not the case. Now, I'm not saying don't be aware of negativity, but don't put the negativity up front until that is displayed and you're sure that is what you're confronted with. As we're dealing with all of us, not just policemen, all of us as human beings, I offer that as one solution. We begin where we should begin, the love of humanity, and do not prejudge each other before we get to know each other. The Prophet Muhammad said, you do not know a man until you have worked with him. Work means engage that person, and then you get to know that person. So if we could begin that, maybe that may lessen some of the trauma that we as citizens of this country have been placed in trauma, where we fear each other. We look at each other with disdain. And we're all citizens of the same country.
Yeah.
And all of that. So I'm offering that as wrong does exist. But let us not start there when you meet an individual until they make that clear that is what they are. But start from the position of the love of humanity. Stop prejudging one another. I'm offering that as one of the solutions.
Well, you know,
I
totally agree. And the challenge that we have is for each person to undo the conditioning that they have received throughout their lives to fear and be suspicious of other people. We know things have happened in the past, but every human being is just that individual. They're not their ancestors. They're not their neighbors. They're not anybody but themselves. So you can't, I mean, for me to have prejudice and prejudging and suspicions of somebody because of how they look makes no sense. Now, today I'm wearing a maroon shirt. If I were to say something to Mama Joy that's rude and mean and hurtful, would it make any sense for if she sees the next person wearing a maroon shirt for her to go and cuss them out? How dare you do so-and-so to me? And that person would go, well, I didn't have anything to you. Because that's a whole different human being. Well, it's the same thing. These bodies we're wearing, this is just a suit of clothes. Somebody wearing a similar suit of clothes is not me. Only I am me. So to think, well, this person who is this color, they're going to hurt me because other people of that color have hurt me. That's the same insanity. Each individual is just themselves. They're not responsible for anything anybody else has done. Even if they look like somebody who harmed you, that's still not who they are. And for us to not get that point, it's going to take some time for us to undo that erroneous thinking so that we're not responding to people as if they've done something wrong because they look like somebody that may have done some wrong to us somewhere in the past. That doesn't make any sense. And sometimes we're responding to people because somebody else said that somebody who looked like them did something. It's still not them. So if
As a matter of fact, there was an intentional choice to blast through very hard, multiple levels of rock to sink the expressway so that folks coming in and out didn't have to see the blight that resulted in the surrounding communities, right? So it's get in and out as quickly as possible. Environmental impacts, health impacts. We know that folks who live around the Kensington Expressway have higher rates of asthma and heart disease and other very preventable illnesses. And again, as aggressively as policy was created to make the harm, we have to make sure that the equal and more energy is put into undoing that, right? And $1 billion has recently been allocated to cover a portion. But we also know that that's not a real
solution. I can hear you. I can hear you, Naima. You heard me.
President Biden tomorrow. What do you want to say to this country?
I can hear you.
Has taken place. This young white man who describes himself as a white supremacist.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Back, and I apologize to those on the Female Solution switchboard. We got disconnected for a few moments. Thanks for hanging in there with us. I was opening mics and checking to see if you heard me, and then I didn't hear you respond. I knew that we had gotten disconnected, so we wanted to make sure we bring you back into the conversation. Thank you so much again for hanging in there. I just press one when you're ready to speak, and we'll certainly get your comments. We're talking today to Mama Joy, and we want to bring some joy to the world, which means we've got to change some thinking that we have allowed ourselves to to accept. You know, one of the things that I find challenging is the idea that other people have the power to define your worth, and how we get stuck on being angry if someone is prejudiced or rude or discriminatory, believing that other people have the power to define our worthiness of joy, our worthiness of abundance, our worthiness of respect. And when we focus on what other people are doing, we're not looking at the power that we have to define ourselves. And that's one of the things that I see is a challenge to those who get stuck on being angry, even being angry at something like racism. Because racism really isn't the problem of the person experiencing it. It's the problem of the person who is expressing it. It's something inside of them where they need to do something to make themselves feel better about themselves, because obviously they don't feel good about themselves. When you don't feel good about yourself, then you tend to do things that hurt others. And for those who are on our switchboard, again, we've got a little bit of a challenge. I'm going to open up a microphone and do another sound check. Area code. Uh-oh, I think our switchboard is stuck. Okay. Well, in that case, we're going to have to do some switching of sound. And Brother Karim, can you still hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. Yes, well, I know what it is. I'm having a little bit of an internet issue. So anyway, as we continue this conversation and bring Mama Joy back in a moment, I've got to switch a few devices. But in the meantime, one of the things that I have, you know, we've been working on a parenting class that is really designed to change the thinking of the next generation. And to start out with the premise, all of us are of equal value, and all of us are equally worthy of love, and all of us are special and unique in our own right. And we must, above all, have compassion for others, because what we do affects not only ourselves, but every life that we touch, and even the lives we don't see. So what we look to instill in the next generation is a sense of responsibility and a sense of being part of a collective society, so that the reason for doing things is for the purpose of the well-being of others, not to try to show that you're better than somebody or to try to put someone down, but to always do things with the intention of the other person's well-being. And that means that we have to change every way that we're functioning in society. Every institution that is hurtful, that is discriminatory, that is designed to deprive people of things, all of those have to be transformed to change the intention behind it. Something as basic as the housing industry. If the intention is to make sure that everyone has a comfortable home, then you have to do away with a systematic exclusion of some people from having access to the means to have a home. that's a very hateful system in which, first of all, you have to apply for a loan, and if you don't have enough money, then you can't, that in your past or shown that you've earned enough money, then you don't get the loan to be able to get a house. And so you're, I mean, just all that whole system of at a level of struggling to survive, it's hateful. It's hurtful. And so in changing the thinking of the next generation, our intention is to continue to reinforce the idea that they are here to create a new world, a new society based on new principles that really are godly principles, really are reflecting of the divine mind of creation, that it's only love, not meanness, not hatred, not discrimination, not cruelty, only love. So if we keep reinforcing that thought, then our children not only are equipped with knowledge, and even when they explore science, they're looking at science from the means of how can we learn about the elements of the universe and how they interact and cooperate for our good, not how can we misuse the earth and take from the earth and leave it depleted so that the soil doesn't have the nutrients it needs to grow healthy food, but how do we think holistically? That's what we're striving to instill in the next generation, and an education that admits what we have been doing is incorrect. It's not in harmony with the way the universe is designed as a cooperative, interactive way of living. So this means preparing our children to think differently and to see each other differently, not as, you know, some people are naturally enemies because their ancestors hurt you. Because, yes, we know things happen, but to keep holding on to that, it's not healing us, and it's not healing those who descend from people who did hurtful things, you know.
You know Naima?
Yes.
Naima?
Yes.
Yes. I heard Mama Joy use terminology that I believe we need to truly take note of. She mentioned oppression, and then following that, she used suppression, to suppress something, to hold it within. Suppression is an internal condition whereby you suppress it. You hold it within, and the internal context affects us, affects human beings, whatever you have suppressed. When you suppress the idea of equality, when you suppress the idea of justice, when you suppress the idea of one humanity, you are suppressing that. And it comes out, in negative behavior, because the reality, is right before all of us.
All right.
We know that we are all human beings, but we suppress that because out of fear, we have been labeled with a broad brush and generalities. See, all African Americans, they are criminals. All Hispanics, they are not to be trusted. All people of the Jewish faith, they will cheat you. Those are broad brushes. And the media, especially at this time, is giving us a false image of ourselves and others. That those generalities in order for us to overcome the oppression is real. It is a reality. But I do not have to fall victim to oppression. I have it within myself, to do those things that will bring value to my life and others. But as long as I hold on to the offfall or the dust of oppression, then I'm suppressed.
Yeah.
I will suppress myself. So we have to free ourselves and know that these generalities are not the reality. We must live in the reality. And that is how we can heal as human beings. This idea of I do not want our children to be informed of the oppression of others in this country. I don't want our children to have to deal with that. Well, that is an act of suppression.
Right.
So that is an internal suppression to hold that within. And we continue to act on that until what was done is given the light of day, and I don't mean in an emotional, angry spirit, to acknowledge the mistakes that we as human beings have made.
That's all it is. Just acknowledge it so that we can fix it.
They were victims of a false narrative, a false lie. And they responded to that. The idea of someone having a certain skin color is less bad. They were victims. They didn't author that. Oh, no. They didn't author that idea. They are victims of that idea. And the victimization. So we have to understand that, but I'm not giving an excuse to those that acted in a barbaric way toward others. I'm not giving them a way out, but they have to admit that that was a grave mistake, and we can move forward.
Right.
Don't suppress the truth.
Absolutely. Well, this is why the foundation of the teaching of all children has to be that all living beings are expressions of our Creator, and there is no greater than or lesser than on the planet. We all are here to express our unique creativity and intelligence, and all life is to be respected. And anybody who does not act in accordance to that, it's because they're lacking in awareness. They, as you've just said, they've been taught incorrectly. And so their teaching has to be corrected. Their behavior is being guided by incorrect beliefs. And that's what happened. So we look at history and look at what people did when they were given incorrect beliefs, then we know that we have to correct those incorrect beliefs that lead to that behavior. The behavior that there's not enough, I have to take from others, I have to brutalize others, I have to create a system where others can't get what I have. All of that thinking is incorrect. So if we are just able to simply admit that we didn't know better, just again, you know, when you're as a child, you think as a child. Well, if we are an evolved species of humanity, then we have to think according to higher principles of living. All of the spiritual masters that have come among us and taught us that the foundation of everything must be love. It must be compassion, sharing, generosity, respect. These are the foundations that have been given to us over and over and over again. So it's time for us to grow up and grow into that knowledge that we've been given over and over again that shows us this is how you heal the society that you have caused pain in with your incorrect beliefs.
follow these things. Follow this understanding. Love
it's something that it's something that every entity, every organization, every church, every religion has to embrace that. That's it. And so it's the fear that even our churches, our church leaders and our community organizations are fearful of, because that's what they know. Even though they know it's not working, they fear making the change because they are fearful that you will move away from them. And too many, oftentimes we speak about Jesus, particularly in the church, and they say, he didn't do a thing. He was kind and he was good and he didn't do anything, and they crucified him for nothing. They crucified him so he can keep his mouth closed.
That's it, because he was teaching a revolutionary philosophy. Love is revolutionary.
You know what? I looked at
the church was
a movie yesterday.
For people to understand that you are free to go to God for yourself.
Right.
You don't have to pay somebody, hallelujah, to get you into heaven or to get your relatives out of purgatory or hell. You know, you don't have to do that.
Right.
And this was the belief system. They didn't hang him on the cross for nothing.
They hung him because he was revolutionizing the thought.
That's right.
What's so
amazing is that they put his cross on the skull. Golgotha. The place of the skull. If you look at the paintings of it, it shows you.
What does that say to us?
They're conscious of the fact that where they're controlling us, where we're being controlled.
I think Kareem has a question. Yeah, I think Kareem's got a question. What was that you were saying? I'm sorry.
Yes. This is so important. They say that he was crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull.
Right.
Now, the skull is an empty head. It does not have a brain within it. I went to the movie yesterday. They have $5 Tuesdays at certain theaters. And I watched this movie called Father Stu. It is starring Mark Wahlberg, and it is dealing with his transformation from being a drunken brute, someone that inflicts violence on people, and he was in an accident and came from out of the coma that he was in, and he changed his life around. And he wanted to be a priest. He entered the seminary. And in the seminary, there was only one African-American there. Now, take note of this. And his name was, guess what? Ham. Ham.
Wow.
Now, what are they saying to us? What are they saying to us? We are all aware of the so-called curse of Ham. If we want to solve this race issue, it gets its origin in religion and the misinterpretation of religious scripture. To be cursed black has nothing to do with skin color. It has all everything to do with lack of knowledge and ignorance. The enlightenment is proper knowledge. So until we correct that, because people get their dispositions from what has been presented to them, in most cases from the Creator. So we have to have the courage, and I've said this before, we have the courage to reexamine everything that we have been given as a support for our lives. We have to have the courage to do that. curse, Ham's curse on him. We need to look at that. You are not questioning God. You are questioning those human beings that erroneously interpreted that and took advantage
That's
of
right.
people on this earth. I'll stop right there.
Yeah, well, that is true. And that is one of the reasons why people have been afraid to question things that they know don't feel right inside. That their soul is saying something wrong with this. But then they're being told, oh, you're questioning God. Even though I'm questioning the teachings that you're saying come from God, but that's not what God's saying to me. And I'm talking to God just like you are. So how is it that only you can know what God wants and I'm not worthy for God to speak to me? You know, that thinking, and like you're saying, Mama Joy, that's what Jesus was challenging, the idea that only the priests have access to God. Only the priests know what God wants. You have to pay the priest if you want to be accepted by God. He was challenging that thought and bringing the thought that God is accessible to everyone. We are all children of God. And that freed people from fear of the priests who wanted to keep control. So that was what they were challenging him for and calling him, you know, committing blasphemy and all of that, because he was removing the control of the priests and religious leaders that wanted to claim that they had exclusive rights to God. And some today are the same way. They're doing the same kind of thing.
Spiritual enough, you don't know enough. Now, we've allowed that thinking
to the point where we've let people abuse us and accepted the abuse, believing that because this religious authority said so, that this is what God wants. When in fact, all we got to do is pray ourselves and what does the scripture say, Kareem? God is as close as our jugular vein. Right there, your very lifeline is to the Creator. So why are you needing someone to tell you what God says is right for you when you can ask yourself? But we got to take another break. And when we come back, I'd like to address a thing, Brother Kareem and Mama Joy, and I think Sister Rashida is going to be joining us to talk about a program she's working with homeless women. We've had this issue with women for a long time, and one of the things that came up, and this past Sunday, I had a discussion on my Three Black Moms show that I do with my sisters, and we have very strong opinions. Whole issue of abortion is coming up, but one of the things, and I think about the woman who people were about to stone to death for they said she committed adultery, and Jesus finally said, okay, well, one who's about to sin, cast the first stone. Of course, no one did because everybody knew they had done something wrong themselves. But you know, it kind of brought to light some historical behaviors and attitudes that have been cast at women, whereas we're first of all kept in a position of helpless dependency, and that's been a cultural tradition for a long time. You know, girls are raised to basically, you know, get married and take care of family, which didn't require a lot of outside education. If she doesn't have education to take care of herself, what happens if she doesn't find a husband? What happens if she doesn't get married? What happens if he dies? And what happens if she gets pregnant outside of wedlock? And what we've been doing is condemning young girls for getting pregnant out of wedlock and punishing them with poverty instead of empowering them to be able to take care of themselves. And we get focused on, well, you didn't have sex when we said you were supposed to, and that is when a man has, you know, taken what really has been ownership of you. And that whole thinking is what leads us to this conflict that we have right now. So how do we recreate the relationship between men and women where they approach this partnership not as one being dependent upon the other, but both being responsible to each other? And how do we redefine their co-parenting as well as their mutual right to grow and expand their own personal creativity and skills and interests? How do we reshape that marital relationship so that it is really expressing love and compassion and mutual respect? I want to talk about that when we come back, because a lot of what we practice is rooted in religion that still kind of had that hostility toward women in it. And so we have to fix that. But we'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will certainly come to you and get your thoughts. And if you're on our Facebook page, if you're on Facebook, you can go to The Female Solution on Facebook and write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And if you're on our switchboard now, feel free to press 1. We'll open your mic after the break and get your thoughts as we look at correcting some of the belief systems. We've got a couple callers on the switchboard we'll come to right after this break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment.
Stay and stay.
So stay with us.
Stray away.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Tucson Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Tucson Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Tucson Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Unmuted.
power.
Yes, we are
That's
powerful.
That's where the peace and joy is going to come from. Yes. Ladies, we are beautiful. We are powerful.
Yes.
And we were made in heaven. Ask any child, where is God? This is God in heaven. Who made you? God made me. But God made you in heaven. In love. Take the treasures and walk in that beauty. Huh?
Yes.
And that will be a start for your marriage and our marriages because it's already ordained in heaven. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So, that
is, if we teach children that at the outset of their lives, the divine joy that comes with love, then even as we approach relationships, it's with love, not with not with other agendas or intentions to hurt, harm, control, or any of those things, but love.
It's with love.
Love does not hurt. So whatever's hurting, that means, just like when your body hurts, that means something is in disarray and needs to be healed. Pain should not be a part of a relationship because if you love each other, then whatever it is that you're doing for the well-being of the other person. So
you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. And you're going to make errors.
Because you're going to be confronted with what is inside of you
yes.
that was misshapen. By saying,
don't deny your healing.
Let yourself heal and know that joy, happiness, freedom, these are the natural states of being, not suffering. You're not coming into this life to suffer. You're coming to experience life abundantly. And for some reason, we have been made to believe that we're not supposed to be happy, we're not supposed to be joyful, we're not supposed to be expressive, that real religion is serious and somber and sad. Why are we believing that? When God gave us laughter for a reason, laughter heals the body. What does that tell you? That's what we should be engaging in, more laughter, more joy. But I want to go to our phone lines. We've got some callers here. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. One question I asked before the break was this idea that we have, women are not supposed to blossom and be empowered to create and develop in the same manner as men. Where is that coming from? How do we grow out of that so that we can allow two people to come together in a healthy partnership, not where one is either dependent on another or controlled by another, but loved by the other. Let's go to area code 773-499 Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Grand Rising, this is Rashida. Sorry, I had to call
for ma'am.
But
yes, I'm glad. I had to use my intuition. I said, well, this may be Rashida, even though it's not the number I was looking for. So, but thank you for calling. You know, we mentioned earlier in the show that you were doing a program that is designed to help women that are homeless. And one of the things that distressed me so much when I see a lot of the abortion debates, and my thought was, well, the reason why we're having this issue is because many women fear that if they are pregnant and they don't have the support of the man, the family, whatever, that they will be allowed to just suffer in destitution, homeless, struggling, trying to raise a baby. So my thought is, why have we created a society that would allow a woman to suffer if she has a child because we think she did something wrong in getting pregnant because she didn't have all of the things that we say she should have? Well, she should have a man with money, or she should have status, or whatever it is we think she should have. So my thought is, how come we're so hostile toward women and allowing them to suffer out there and be homeless with children? What are we thinking incorrectly that we would allow that to happen, to drive a woman to a point of desperation and say, well, you know, I'd better if I don't even have a child because I'm not going to be helped by the society to take care of it if I do. So, you know, I know that you've worked with a lot of women that are homeless, that are struggling, that are economically destitute, that have been abandoned by husbands, by fathers of their children, by family. What is it that you're seeing in a pattern of women that end up homeless? Is it because their families have turned their backs on them, or is it because society's turned their backs? What do you see as one of the main reasons why women end up homeless?
Well, I think that the service systems are not always equipped with necessary tools, first of all. That's what I think. And when it comes to the women, there are more homeless men than women. And when it comes to homeless women with children, we have more intervention worldwide for homeless women with children, even in Chicago. All the shelters for intervention are closed because of women with children occupying it. I think that the issue is not so much of women with children being homeless, but the killing of the innocent people who are at risk. And I couldn't live with it, really, knowing, I couldn't even rest with knowing that I have contributed to the death of anyone. And at today's doing, even during Jesus' time, he was allegedly homeless. And intervention was needed then. And today, homeless people, especially single homeless women with no children, are more at risk than any. And there's more, as I said, homeless men than women. And like Dr. Martin Luther King said, he once said that a nation who spends more money on military than on uplifting people are experiencing spiritual death. And that's what's happening today. It happened during Jesus' time when he was allegedly homeless. They mistreated him. They beat him. And it was also allegations made that they killed him. So the homeless population is diverse, and it includes people with different levels of support needs. The thing is, most of us, and I am experiencing it now myself, and it wasn't something I did, and it wasn't because of trauma that made it. Trauma contributed to it and was experienced doing that. More trauma was experienced than ever in my whole life. But trauma, in general, it refers to experiences of events. And by definition, trauma, in general, has caused a lot of things and things that are ordinary in terms that, you know, overwhelming. So we as a people, especially we as Muslim people, to get out of the mindset of you must have done something to cause it, or you can psychologically get over it. The support is terrific. So it's nothing that cannot be done about it. But it's like expected, like in the nation of Islam, you don't see a homeless Muslim sister out there because they have a support system. They have always had it, although I'm a lifetime member, but I want to learn more about religion. And my experience as a Muslim sister, homeless, is traumatic. First of all, what's so traumatic about it is that access to things that are needed and rejection, first they're rejected because you don't have on the job
or you don't have your fingernails are not green. That's the observance that you get by those who are supposed to be religious and still saying, sister, what is it that you might need that I might be able to help? But the sisters, they learn during Jesus doing death and homelessness that charity is part of contributing to homelessness. But we don't. We mock or tell them go off. That's right.
Yeah. Your voice is a little muffled, and I'm trying to figure out if it's your phone or the volume or, you know, if you need to put it on speaker or take it off speaker. But it's a little muffled, and I think it's a little difficult to hear. I'm not sure what the adjustment you may need to make so that we can hear you enunciating a little more. From what I understood, you were saying about your experiences in the Muslim community were that there was a support system so that people were not homeless. You know, they were somebody that would take you in or whatever the case may be. But then you mentioned something about people judging women who maybe their nails weren't groomed or whatever. I didn't quite get that point you were making. Was it a thing where you
misjudge because of appearance?
That people tend to be judgmental toward women if they're, you know, not groomed a certain way or not treated nicely. Because, you know, I've watched people respond differently to homeless women than to homeless men. And sometimes women are treated with a little even more disdain, like, ooh, you know, she must be a crackhead or something. But they would be nicer to a man who was homeless. And he's also, you know, of course, not necessarily groomed or washed because you don't have a place you can wash yourself, which is a very dehumanizing feeling. But I've observed people kind of respond with a bit of contempt toward women in that same situation of being ungroomed because you don't have bathroom facilities. You know, you may not have the best odor, you know, smell because you haven't been able to wash yourself. And I've seen a difference of just on the street in the way people treat a woman who is homeless as opposed to how they may treat a man who is homeless. I don't know. Have you observed that? And why do you think that is, that people tend to judge women so harshly if they find themselves, you know, in desperate economic situations and they're out on the street? You know, why are we judging women so harshly?
Well, I think, as I said, the service systems are not always equipped, including religious and nonprofits, especially among a certain ethnicity. And the reason women are treated, because women are more emotional. They're treated that way. I've observed even before I experienced, I believe, a lot of God, let me experience so I could be able to even help more. But I believe the reason why it is like that with women, where they're more aggressive and more abusive, is because women are more emotional. And see, there's two types of trauma. Women, because of their emotionalism, they're more sensitive to certain things that occurs in their life, in particular at particular times and places. And it also is because of the emotional state of we women, that particular time of this trauma that we experience during home is sudden. And then we experience other assaults, sexual assaults, and et cetera. So that creates trauma. So people, that's why I had, before I experienced it myself, mass was induced. It wasn't because of not payment or not having enough funds to pay. It was because it was induced by a management system that was hostile and aggressive and gave no regards to the rule of law. So it was contemptuous as well as injurious. But that as far as outside help, everybody seeing who Rashida is and what she does and still is doing, and she's claiming that type of disparity, but there was no outreach saying, oh, sister, like they did in the old days in the religion I claim, in the Nation of Islam, Islamic religion, a sister would note that another sister is homeless, that was prevented or has experienced something traumatic, they'll be there to help as they do at the Christian charities. During this pandemic, there's a lot of people who are experiencing this recognized problem. Many people who are at risk of experiencing long-term homelessness. So homelessness is not a bad thing, but what's bad about it is the trauma that occurs at that particular time. And trauma refers to events, which typically are chronic, you know, and other things, even sometimes what occurred within the family and several environments. So trauma is an experience that's chronic, and it happens, like I said, on typical events, and homelessness is a typical event. Even for those who came from the understanding of the scripture of the Bible, we know what Jesus experienced during his time and how chronic it was and how traumatic it was. It's still the same today among the homeless people down there in Chinatown. A man, black man, walking around with a knife stabbing homeless people. I experienced a stabbing. And I went to a religious order, and I told them, the brothers became defensive. You know, oh, no, no Muslims can come there. And all of that. And no sister, you know, da, da, da. Anyway, it's a psychological effect when homeless. And don't care what you do, unless you have strong faith like me, it's hard to get that support. I've been sexually assaulted by Muslims when they knew that I was going through that disparity. Men have been treated like I'm less because I acknowledge the fact that this is an experience and it has exposed me to trauma. I've been made mockery of when I admit and try to say, oh, no, that, you know, I see the emotion. But that is pain. So what I decided to do, and because of my faith and my belief and the motivation from just experiencing the devastation of trauma, is to give and to develop a program service that can help all the homeless. Our people that didn't even know me, that was not in my religion when I told them what was happening, that they just came to me from the heart. One person, brother, didn't know me at all. I had nowhere to stay. And I told a person I've been knowing for over 60 years, I was paying her not going to lay down and be trifling. And she treated me like I was a piece of nothing. But just a neighbor.
You know, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused.
I'll take my last break, but Rashida, we got to take one last break. When we come back, we'll talk about the program that you started, the entrepreneurial program that you started that will help empower people. And then, you know, some of the attitudes, I guess, that we have to overcome, especially, you know, I've heard people say things like, well, you know, women have no reason to be homeless. She can sell her body. I'm like, but why should she have to? You know, what difference does that make? You know, so. But anyway, we're going to come right back and deal with that thought that, you know, we should just be willing to just prostitute ourselves if we need money. You know, and that's a lot of what we face and the attitude that has to be gotten rid of. We're going to come back and talk about that. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And that'll let us know you've got something to say. We're talking to Mama Joy, and we have our co-host, Brother Kareem on the line with our American Muslim 360 family, and Rashida Ali has joined us to give us some insight on her journey as a woman dealing with some of the issues created by perhaps some incorrect belief systems that allow women to suffer and struggle. Why are we doing that? We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and join my co-host Kareem Hamid. And we've got Mama Joy on today, and we've got to bring some joy to the world. We've been listening to Rashida Ali. And
towards the tag in that last statement.
I know.
Women are condemned because they sell everybody. You know, it's important that we reach maturity as quickly as possible. Because whatever errors that we make in life, whatever so-called sins that we have, believe me, they are there to teach us a lesson.
Mm.
The sooner that we are able to overcome and speak on that lesson and leave the pain behind, we can liberate so many people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I had to laugh when you chuckled and said, oh, they tell women they got to sell their body, why they have to do it. But see, Mama Joy, I went into that situation.
Mm.
I went into the situation where I said, well, I need this with my kids. I need that. But I said, well, I don't know. This seemed to be an easy thing. I went out, and I got one guy. And then after I was waiting to pay, he didn't want to pay. He said, oh, Joy, how did you tell that story? Yeah, well, it doesn't bother me anymore.
Really?
Because
lesson learned is get the money up front.
He said, when we're not taught certain things, how can you hold me responsible for what I have not been taught?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, and so it was funny. So I said, golly, Jesus, I can't even get a church's chicken sandwich. He said, okay, I'll get that church's. And he paid $1.49. I got out that car and said, oh, dang, oh, well. This ain't for me.
I think I'll worth more than $1.49.
You know, I said, no, I'm not going to take piano lessons and didn't get my lessons. But the point is that I tried and I never really shared. It's the first time I shared that. Because I realized that we continuously give permission to be caught in a damned if you do, damned if you don't position.
Right. Well, that's part of the...
And that is not the way God had it for us.
Right.
We'll make errors, but I'm telling my story to say, hey, we've got to be able to visit these situations that we've been into. Homeless and all of these other things. I was homeless for a short while.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it is helping to heal the mind. I think, Brother, I made... We have to speak on the healing of our mind, our soul, and our body, and stand up because we are in a womb of negativity and a womb that negates women. And we speak out and we speak life. Like Marley's son, Damien, said, it's amazing how we continue repeating the same mistakes as our ancestors.
Yes. Now I want to throw this thought out there because a lot of what how women end up in that selling the body situation, it's almost like we're programmed to do that. If your thought is you got to find somebody who can take care of you financially rather than you being prepared to take care of yourself, and then if you don't find that person, then if you don't have any other skills other than your body to offer, that's what ends women up in that situation in the first place, having a society that is not equipping her to be independent and self-sufficient in her own right. Now, I'm not saying that men should not be responsible as well and working and taking care of their family, but I'm also saying that we should never have crippled women with the thought that your job is to find somebody to take care of you, because that's what ends up in being basically prostituted, where you have to find somebody who pays for you, and then if they change their mind and throw you out on the street, that's how a lot of women end up homeless, because the man decides he don't want the relationship anymore. And in a whole lot of countries, there's not only, you know, divorce laws where women have rights. It's like, okay, I don't want you, get out. And she's out there, what does she have? She has her body. She got to find another man who will pay for her, whatever, whether it's love involved or like Tina Turner said, what's love got to do with it? You know, look, I need a home. And you want what I got, so let's just, you know, pay, and then I get what I need. So that's been.
Now, even may I speak to that, please?
Wrong.
Historical.
So how do we fix that so that we don't take that into the future? So, Kareem, you've got a thought on that, and I'm got a caller in, but she just want to tell us about what she has put forth to alleviate some of that problem. But, Brother Kareem, go right ahead with your thought.
Yes. Remember me saying earlier, we have to reform. Everything
yes.
needs to be reformed. We need to reform what we call family,
right.
and reform our position concerning the male and female. God says to us in the Quran,
yes.
O mankind, reverence your guardian Lord who created you from a single person. That means a single soul. Created of like nature, his mate. And from those two, scattered like seed, countless men and women. Reverence
mm-hmm.
God to whom you demand your mutual rights. And reverence the wombs that bore you. For God
right.
ever watches over you. In another portion of the Quran, Almighty God speaks to the human being and says, do not kill your children out of want.
Mm-hmm.
God provides for you and will provide for them.
I am a father. I am a father. I have two daughters and one son. But I don't stop being father because they reach a certain age.
Right.
I have grandchildren. I have grandchildren. And one of my daughters has reached out to me. She's in a situation with she needs help, financial help. I am her father, and her children are my grandchildren. Are my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obligated as a father and her grandfather to help her. To help her. So when we are confronted with instances like this, homelessness, we need to expand our idea of family. The family take that person in and see after their needs. And she should not have to abort my grandchild. Now, this is not the situation with my daughter. I'm speaking of a hypothetical. She should not have to abort my grandchild.
Right.
Thank you. I will help. I will provide for my grandchild.
Well, that's it. That's the thing.
I'll stop right there, my friend.
It's the absence of that family support causes women to end up making those decisions because there is no support, and there's a lot of times there's condemnation if the pregnancy happens with someone that the family didn't approve of. We got a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to bring in if you all can give your brief thoughts. Area code 773-521, and then Rashida tells us about the product that she has that helping to raise money for the homeless. 773-521, give us your name where you're calling from and your comment.
Yeah, good morning. It's Cooper James calling from Mother Earth. I've had peace since I was a child, so I'm not connected to any religion because I keep that peace because I had it as a child. And so I don't follow any religion to disturb my peace. That's my heaven. I was born in peace. So that peace gives me understanding that we're never homeless. We need shelter. Home is my peace within my temple. And if you know that, now God can give you that shelter. He will lead you to that shelter. That's how God directs our path once we have that peace and that love within us. Okay?
It makes a whole lot of sense.
It's just common sense, you know. Balloon ain't going to go anywhere if it's got a little air in it. So nothing's going to disturb my peace. That's why I don't follow this pandemic. I don't follow none of these laws out here that these men are creating. I don't follow none of that. Because my peace is connecting me to nature. I follow nature. And no one can dominate that. No one can dominate nature. No one can dominate that. So you're not homeless. You need shelter. Shelter is provided by God. So don't never say you're homeless because that means you ain't got no spirit, no love in you.
The earth is your home. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for that. Let me see if I can take one more caller before we get back to Rashida. Thanks so much, Brother Cooper.
Yes,
all this.
Andrew Nelson there.
I have one caller.
I just wanted to say this.
Okay, Andrew, we got a statement and we got American Muslims.
I wrote an email, which I'm going to share with you today, Sister Naiman. Good to hear Brother Koofy James's voice. We have people who are unhoused and unsheltered, but no one is really homeless. And I will also say this legislation that's to be passed in Congress called the National Reparations Referendum, primarily for African-American descent of chattel slavery, of which one Andrew C.M. Nelson is the author, is designed, among other things, to ensure that women and girls who have children are properly sheltered and protect it. See? And that's why it's so important for this legislation to be passed and ratified in Congress.
We'll talk further about that, Andrew, and certainly hook you up with some of those who are running for Congress and get their thoughts on if they'd be willing to introduce it and let it be a part of our legal system. And let's see, did we lose Rashida's? Oh, let me see. I think her call dropped. Maybe she'd come back on.
I have a caller here on AM360.
Oh, yeah, you have a caller. Yeah, go ahead. Take your caller on American Muslim 360. Go right ahead.
Erico 724-866. Welcome to the Female Solution. Erico 724-866.
Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, I had my phone on mute. This is Sister Gail Muhammad from Sharon, Pennsylvania. I think when we talk about men and women, we have to realize that is natural. That's the most natural thing. And we all got here from the sperm and the egg of a man and a woman. So what we have to see in society is those things being protected and not putting the men and the women against each other. Because
right.
We're seeing a decline in family values, and the individual has to do that. Now, I came from a family of 11 children. By the age of 41, my dad passed. My mom, when my dad was 49, my mom was 41. And she raised us. And it, oddly enough, we couldn't even get welfare when he first passed because it wasn't the dependency that there is now on these governmental assistance programs. But what had already happened in our growing up, the years that my dad was together, my dad let my mom be the manager of the money. So when he died, she was already the manager of the money, so she didn't have to learn or be dependent. And then we got Social Security. So that was another program. But she always did manage the budget. She knew how to do those things. And I think a lot of times as women, we have women and a family structure. We don't have to be competing against each other. But if I have a strength in one area and my husband has a strength in another area, you work together on those strengths. And it doesn't have to be a competition. And that kind of environment, things weren't perfect, but they worked together. My dad, he drank a little. He took his money out to get to work on time. My mom never worked outside of the home. She was the money manager.
And I think
that's what a lot of times we lose our shelter, we lose this, because now advertising and stuff comes into the home via the television and other things. And we are so busy going after those material things that, you know, we don't need 50 pairs of shoes. We don't need all that. We have to make sure you don't have a home to put those things or a shelter to put those things. What good are they for us?
Absolutely.
So, and we have to work together, not compete with each other. We have to complement each other.
That,
we have complementary rights over each other when we come together. And I think we have to, like the sister was saying, the men out here, our men are really being beaten up by this system now that is trying so much to empower women. We have to have some balance. There has to be a balance. And there are men that take care of their children now, and they should get the same help for those children as a woman gets.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Now, you know, women are traumatized and men are traumatized.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I just think we have to try to keep some kind of balance and, you know, just remember, you can't come here no other way. That's the most natural
way
that human beings to come here and you know, we can't go so far to the left on either issue that we think we don't need each other. We most definitely do. And we have to, like Brother Kareem was saying, that family structure is being taken away because before when you could sit down and talk to grandmom or grandfather for counseling in a way, now we go to psychiatrists and social workers and things.
And
you
and
know,
they might not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that sometimes the issue is that what we used to depend on in terms of wisdom, they may not have the wisdom because we've got a whole generation where we've got people who either did drugs or alcohol or whatever, and sometimes they're not at that position of that wise elder that we would want a grandparent to be because of what they experienced and the trauma that they are still trying to overcome. But sister, we want to thank you for calling. Before we go, Rashida, you wanted to give us some information on products that you're selling that will help raise funds for those who are homeless. Where can they go to is there a website or a number they can call to order, to place orders to assist in that process?
Yes, there's
where'd she go? Oh, where'd she go? I'm sorry, go ahead. Say that again. Rashida? Check your mute. Rashida, you there? Rashida, you there? I think we check your mute. Well, of course, Rashida, are you there? I think we've lost. I think she's having some connection issues. But, of course, we want to thank all of you. Thank you to Mama Joy, who's with us every
third
Wednesday of the month. And next week we will have our men-only discussion led by Brother Kareem Hamid. So there you are. And in the last seconds, Rashida, please give us your contact information for people who want to assist with the project to raise funds for the homeless. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, they can contact me on Facebook, Rashida Ali, or can call me
773-263-4274.
Goodbye.
All right, so that was our American Muslim 360 connection. And again, can you give that number again for our Facebook family and also how to spell your name on Facebook, Rashida Ali?
Yes, R-A-S-H-I-D is in David, A-H, last name A-L-I. And the phone number is 773-463-4274.
One more time again.
773-4274.
Well, all right.
Yes.
And quickly, what are some of the products that you're selling to raise?
God bless me to meet the manufacturer of Candu, and we have 100% pure all-natural product for skin and hair, mango butter, hemp seed oil, raw blend. For the hair, of natural hair, I have the whole line of the Cantu product. Please don't go to your Walgreens or Walmart or your wholesale distributor to buy it. Manufacturer gave me the whole line of 17 items in the line of products, that they manufactured for the fundraising for developing housing and treatment programs for the homeless. And for those who have natural coils, I have the Can-Do product, a shea butter, natural base for the hair. Tea tree oil, mango butter, cocoa butter, hemp oil, hemp tree oil, hair repair, moisturizer, twist and lock, the whole production of Can-Do. So Almighty God bless me because my faith in other people, good deeds, to have the manufacturer, what they're doing, they're manufacturing a new line and the old line of products, the whole gamut. I have thousands of cases, so I won't run out. Yes. So the money that's
okay. So
the garden would go towards developing of housing and mental health services for the homeless. And we have a mental health forum coming up tomorrow at 6 o'clock to 7:30. It's bring the black man back home and to a state of mind. So I'll talk about it tomorrow. It's done by the Second District Mental Health Task Force, for which we need, especially,
okay,
the people who experience homelessness.
Okay, give me that phone number again. That was 7736.
No.
What was that number again?
773-263-4263. Yeah,
763-4274. 773-263-4274. Okay, so I wrote it on the screen just so for our audience can see it. Those who are watching us on Facebook Live can see. Call to order products at 773-263-4274. And as you heard, the proceeds go for programs to alleviate homelessness and help those who are what did we say the term was, without shelter, so that they can have a roof over their heads and get some warmth and comfort and food and even a bit of economic stability programs that Rashida Ali is promoting. So thank you so much, Rashida, for all the work you
do.
We appreciate you, and we'll continue to follow up and let our listeners and viewers know where they can get these all-natural products that you have produced, and congratulations on this venture, and we know that this will be a means to transform your life and help you in the transforming of others. So thank you so much for all that you do, and we will see you next time. And thank you, Mama Joy, for joining us and bringing some joy to the world. And now you have a ministry online also. Give us the days and times for that.
Okay, I'll be on this Sunday. I'll be on the Sunday Stream Yard, and I will be at 3 o'clock. I'll be sending that message out so that they can contact, join us.
All right, and then where they go to find you? What they type
Stream
in?
Yard, Stream Yard. On the Stream Yard.
Is it? So it'll be on your Facebook page, I guess, live on Facebook.
It'll be on the Facebook page.
So they go to Joy.
So any of
this,
go to Joy Secure or the Melody of Joy Institute.
Oh, the Melody of Joy Institute. All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. 3 o'clock Sunday. We're looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much for bringing us some joy today. And we're looking forward to seeing you next month, third Wednesday.
Thank you. Thank you for the joy and liberating, too. And thanks to our guest and brother Hamid. Enjoy you. So,
yes. It's been
a joy in your life first and then expand it to others to make this world better, okay?
Absolutely. It's our responsibility to do it. We will see you all next time.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows,
order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Well, all righty then.